Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark. That ghostly rasp you just heard is Miles.
Hello.
How's it going, Miles?
Okay.
Should you even be doing this podcast? I'm only asking myself that now.
I won't read the emails.
Okay, that's fair. Miles is here for vibes purposes. Just know that he's here. Even if he passes out in the middle of it, listener, just pretend he's still here.
I'm not sick.
Here to raise COVID awareness.
But he is doing better, by the way, just so you guys know that he is not at the peak.
Yeah.
Not at the peak of COVID hell.
That's right.
And you're testing negative, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can't be held liable at all.
I can't spread it via Skype.
Oh, well, that was good. That was my next question for you, actually. Jackie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fine.
Did you test negative?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I don't have COVID.
We did drive through test the day you told us, Miles, that you had had it. And it took fucking forever.
Miles tried to spread it to the rest of the podcast, but it didn't work.
Solidarity.
While waiting for the test, because it took them so fucking long to get it together, a little lantern fly nymph landed on my car door that was like rolled down the window. And I smacked it, and it smacked right at the pharmacist, and she like flinched because it was just a bug flying right at her face. It was a weird series of events. Anyway, this is a podcast about anime. An anime that might feature a scene where someone smacks a bug right at other people, usually JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But this week, since we've covered all of JoJo, and you can find our back catalog, it's in a weird order, and sometimes there's other anime in there, we are going to be talking about Trigun Stampede. Which, by the way, if you hear me say Trigun the Stampede on this podcast, feel free to correct me, but I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise.
Why are you doing it?
Because I'm used to saying Vash the Stampede.
Now it's
Trigun
Stampede.
There's not even
a
colon. Even if I read it, my brain is like, something missing.
I just want to call Vash Trigun. I want that to be his name.
Yeah.
Especially since apparently his brother is Knives.
His name?
It should just be Trigun and Knives.
His brother's name is Millions O' Knives. He's Irish.
Yeah.
We'll get into our thoughts on this new series, this reboot question mark, in a little bit. But first, it's time for some housekeeping. By that, I mean we are going to say hi, Gun, to our favorite Trigun listeners. Ah,
good.
That was okay. All right. It was something, at least. It was something. What I mean is we're going to read emails sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. This first email is from Colin. The subject line is, "She try on my gun till I stampede." Hey there, JJB Pod. Wow, it has been a criminal amount of time since I've written in. I think about 1.75 years now, oof. But since you definitely, coincidentally, started watching one of my new favorite series, I had to write in about it. This was Colin's pick on the Patreon, just so everyone knows. A few of my friends had been telling me since the series started airing that I needed to check it out, and I kept putting it off until two of my friends came to stay with me for a week and decided that we should all bite the bullet, nice, and watch. Well, we watched Stampede over 2 days, then took a break, then watched Trigun 98 over 4 days, and have since been doing occasional calls to read the manga together and voice it. Feel free to skim this. Colin's going to share some thoughts about Stampede versus 98, which is what he's calling the original manga. That's fine. That's fine. You can add a year to Trigun. I'm not hurt that you're not just calling it Trigun. It's fine. I'm getting older. They're going to reboot stuff. It's got a much different tone, which Colin doesn't mind. He points out there's a lot less goofiness, and he wishes there was more time for character interaction. But the world building is better, and one of Colin's favorite aspects. It goes into the plants. Yeah, that's true. 98 didn't really do that. Knives is an established threat right from the get-go. And Colin thinks Studio Orange did a gorgeous job. Don't know if you guys were able to glean this from the episodes you watch. I wanted to clarify, Stampede Season 1 is both a retelling and a prequel to the series. The next season will kind of start where 98 starts. Anyway, that's all I have to say for now. Hope you guys at least somewhat enjoyed this. If you didn't, I'll be just a little bit sad. Love and peace, Colin.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Colin.
The 98 Trigun holds a special place in my heart because it's one of my first animes.
I don't know if I ever finished it.
Well, that's fine, Miles, because the 98 staff didn't finish it either.
Oh.
It's a show where they like catch up to the manga, and then they're like, I guess we gotta do our own thing now. Do, 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 do. And they kind of like make up stuff that felt abrupt or weird. And yeah, then it has a kind of a ambiguous ending. I don't know why they didn't get a season two, but it probably had to do with the fact that the manga wasn't caught up. And I think that the author was doing a thing where he sort of jumped around or didn't write in order. So some of the backstory stuff wasn't there yet. Anyway.
That makes sense. I've only, for the 98 Trigun, I've only seen what we saw on the for the podcast, which was the three episodes. I don't even think they were the first three, were they?
No, I jumped a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, right. You were the one who chose the that
I believe
one.
I believe I was.
Did you pay us $15?
No.
I think I liked, I it was sillier. The 98 version was sillier, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Well, we'll talk about it more.
For now, that's all I have more to say later.
We'll talk about it more in more depth later, but yeah, there's definitely things that are done better here.
Yeah,
but
for
yeah.
Sure.
Jackie, can you read this email from Chad?
Okay. This email is from Chad. The subject line is, what's Vash the Stampede's favorite kind of math? Trigonometry.
Good.
That's better. That's better than what I got.
Aloha, JJB Pod Ohana. Let's take a look at the voice connections for Trigun Stampede. Military police officer Chuck Lee is voiced by Tomokazu Sugita, who also voiced Part 2 Jojo, Young Joseph Joestar. Giant Gosef? Is it Gosef or Joseph? It's Gosef.
I think it's Gofsef.
Gofsef.
But it's probably supposed to be Gosef.
Giant Gofsef, Nebraska, is voiced by Kenji Nomura, who also voiced Part 2's first Pillar Man, Santana. Gofsef's dad, Father Nebraska. Is his name Father Nebraska?
I guess so.
Father Nebraska is voiced by Shigeru Chiba, who also voiced Part 4 enemy stand user Yoshihiro Kira, aka Ghost Dad, stand name Adam Hart Father. Gung Ho Gun, e.g., the mine, is voiced by Wataru Takagi, who also voiced Part 4 Jobro Okuyasu Nijimura, stand name The Hand. Well, I hope everyone is doing well and staying cool over this hot summer. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. I'm bummed that my favorite Bernadelli insurance agent, Millie Thompson, is missing. Maybe she'll show up in season two. Oh, right.
Yeah, maybe.
Was there a journal?
I did miss her too.
Was there a journalist and a insurance agent?
No.
So they changed her.
They were both insurance agents.
Yeah. They just changed her to an insurance to a journalist then.
Yes.
I think I like the insurance thing better because it's funny.
Me too.
It's funny.
Also,
and,
I knew I recognized EG's voice.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, folks. Again, those were emails sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. If you want to tell us what you think of today's show, or if you want to prep us with info for what we announce as next week's show, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com and we'll read it on the podcast because we got nothing better to do. Anyway, we also have a Patreon. I shouldn't have downplayed our podcast and our skills right before going into Patreon, but patreon.com/jjbpod is a way to support our little show. You can pledge as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which includes the occasional bit of audio that I took out of the main episode because it was way too irrelevant, Miles's weekly cultural reference newsletter, and anything else we feel like putting up there. For $3 a month, you get access to the same Patreon feed, and we will thank you out loud on the podcast. And if you just do a one-time $15 charge, you do not have to stay on the $15 tier for anything longer than a day. We will do an episode of the podcast about an anime you choose. And then you do not have to email us about it. You just send us a message saying, hey, can you watch whatever? And as pretty much as long as it's not porn and it's not more than 3 episodes or a movie, we'll watch it. All right, before we forget, let's thank all of our $3 and up Patreon patrons.
So thank you, Colin.
Clit Rocket.
Shun.
Matt.
Hentai Homie.
I love Jojo Uvu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Omar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Nocturnal.
Mirror Man.
Austin.
Tim.
Martin!
Aquosis. Aquosis?
We still don't know. It's still
Aquosis. Aquosis.
I think it's Aquosus.
I like that. Christian.
Okay.
And Chad.
Aquosis.
Baby still asleep after I did that?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Our baby's asleep.
Okay, good. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for supporting us.
Thanks for not waking the baby.
My baby's asleep, too.
So yeah, patreon.com/JJBpod. That's how you do
it. I watched a lot of anime while I was sick.
Oh yeah? What'd you watch?
I watched all of Horimiya
.
And the first season of Kaguya-sama.
Oh,
both
yeah.
Good.
I was wondering why Kaguya-sama was higher up in the Crunchyroll dashboard thingy. Wow, Horimiya doesn't even have a Wikipedia article? What's happening?
It's really good. Somebody in the Discord recommended it.
Yes, I saw that, and I was like, what is this show?
I think Jumbo? Actually, I don't want to say.
Okay.
I don't know.
You said that costs money.
No, I mean, I
know.
Oh, Jumbo. It was Jumbo. Thank you, Jumbo.
Okay. I thought you were like, wait a minute. You didn't pay me to talk? When you watch Kaguya-sama, are you like, why isn't there as much reincarnation? What the fuck?
I don't know.
You never think about it. Okay. All right, so this is Trigun Stampede. It is a 2023, like barely 2023, came out January 7th. So it is a winter 2023 anime series. It's part of that season. And yet, interestingly, when I look it up on my anime list, I go to winter 2023, in terms of like popularity and stuff, it is rank 17. Of all the shows. I don't know why that is.
What's number one? What's number 1, 2, and 3?
I'm going to check for you right now, but it, you know, its score is 7.8 about. It's ranked 850. So not, you know, the original Trigun's definitely higher, but I don't know what it is about. Yeah, the winter 2023, which is the beginning of 2023. Number one is Vinland Saga Season 2. Then Tomo-chan is a girl. Then Tokyo Revengers Christmas Showdown.
What's Tomo-san is a girl about?
I don't know. It must be a short anime. It's just a little girl walks out and says, I'm Tomo-chan. I'm a girl. Roll credits.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like they're fighting, but... Oh, anyone would think they are best friends for life. Whatever. We don't need to talk about that right now.
Okay.
And then a bunch of stuff that I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Anyway. So, yeah, I think that from what I can tell, I just like looked for a bunch of reviews and stuff too, but from what I can tell, I think that some of it has to do with the character redesigns, but you're taking an old, beloved classic anime and you're doing two things. One, you're making CG, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't like. They prefer hand-drawn.
I didn't like it as much.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's going to make people either intentionally rank it lower. I don't know if this is from people review bombing it or something, or just people not wanting to watch it. But any sort of less than stellar reaction, I think, is fair from people who don't like that it's a reboot of something done in a very new style. And they don't like the haircuts, is what it is.
Oh.
I think.
They changed the hairs? Haircuts?
Yes. And I don't like it either.
I think they tried to make it more serious and like a respectable, you know, I don't know, like just a more.
I don't think that is as much of a problem.
Okay.
I think it's mostly people who had like an initial very strong negative reaction and may have not even watched.
Oh, you think?
Okay. I just, the reception to the trailer coming out was pretty bad.
Oh, interesting.
So right off the bat, I think it's a lot of people who are angry.
Just they didn't like the animation. They didn't like the changes to the character looks.
You know, I could be wrong, maybe for people, but if you've seen the entire original 98 anime, and if you've read the manga past, like, not that far into it, they both get really dark and bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people die, there's mass murder all the time.
I remember, from what I watched, I could tell that it was dark, but it was also, like, funny.
Well, the thing is, we watched 1 to 3, and 3 is really a downer. And, like, yeah. I think that that also made it tough. Colin pointed out
there
that...
There wasn't enough... I feel like it needed a little bit more silliness.
Yeah, and it probably could have lasted longer in Silly Town.
This new one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the original, I think, took too long to do some of the things that this did within one or two episodes.
But it's like, I don't know. I thought it was, the original was like, if I remember the episodes that I saw correctly, it was just like, it wasn't like all the way just silly, you know? It was like, there's like charming moments to it. And this didn't really have charm to it, I thought.
Mm.
It was just serious plot stuff.
This is also
like animation trying to make things look cool.
Yeah. This is also 12 episodes. The original Trigun is 26.
So does it do all of Trigun in 12 episodes?
No. Colin was saying that this is a retelling slash prequel, which is weird to me.
It kind of makes sense. Like those scenes with like the brother those are prequel kind of stuff, right?
They are, which, yeah, I don't think they really, that's the thing is the manga, I think, it's been a while for both since I've seen the original and read the manga. Probably should have freshened up before this, but whoops. But I think they like jump back to show you their beginning like over time. It's not a totally linear story. So it was interesting that they front loaded that. In some ways I respect that decision. In other ways, yeah, it's a little bit like, let's really get to know Vash as the silly guy he is first, please. By the way, also, same, the English voice dub is the same guy. It's Johnny Young Bosch does Vash's voice in 1998, and he did it here. If you didn't know, Johnny Young Bosch also played a few Power Rangers.
Mm.
He was the second Black Power Ranger. And then the other Rangers he played, I don't know, because they got other names that aren't just colors. Like Zio and Space.
Yeah.
Some shit.
Power Rangers in Space.
Oh, you know, wow. You know the Power Rangers. I guess the lyrics are pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. In Space. Like, in Space is like with an exclamation point at the end, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of a dumb... We can see it's space, guys. We get it.
At some point, I think they go back to the time of the dinosaurs.
Power Rangers.
I stopped watching around then.
In the time of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so this is by Orange, who did... Do you guys know what shows Orange did? Can you guess?
I don't know. Was one of them FLCL?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Maybe they did a new one. I don't think so.
I don't know.
They did Land of the Lustrous.
Oh.
And they did Beastars.
Oh.
CGI.
Yeah. And I have
they to... love that shit.
I think Beastars looked a lot better than Land of the Lustrous.
I think Beastars looked better than this anime that we just saw.
Wowie.
What?
Wowie.
I thought this looked very good.
Here's my...
I didn't like it.
I think this looked bad in space, which felt ironic to me. Because I don't know. I feel like... space, you don't need to like make things look natural, you know?
Yeah.
You can get a little more out there. But some of the scenes, like from outside the ship and stuff, it's just like, it's hard to make things look stylized because when you look at a person and you make that sort of a cel-shaded 3D thing, it's sort of like, okay, I'm looking at a stylized version of something. But with spaceships that are big like that, I've never seen them before, I guess is what I'm saying. So they just sort of look like low frame rate.
Geometry.
CGI of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I can't quite figure it out. But something about the space scenes actually looked worse to me than what I remember from the original anime and, of course, the manga. So I was really like, I felt like a step down from B-Stars. Once we were back actually down on, I forget the name of this planet, it's probably something silly, then looking
no
at...
No Man's Land.
Yeah, just like the way the characters move and stuff, I'm like, oh right, this is what Studio Orange gets, is like the principles of animation are there, and they get how anime characters are supposed to move and stuff, but it does take the eye a little bit to get used to. But yeah, for like, in terms of the newness factor, like when you combine the OP, which is a sort of soulful, sad rap with auto-tune, and the undercut, I'm like, you can't do both. You should have just picked one. This is a lot for me. I am 36 years old. And here's the I think the actual show score is good. I liked the musical stings and stuff that we heard. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of crusty old anime watchers that are like, oh, but Tsuneo Yamahori did this sort of like Western inspired, like, you know, acoustic guitar with a slide. You know, he did that kind of thing. He did the opening that way. And this feels like any other anime, and it's 3D. So it's tough to take something that's beloved and 25 years old and put it into a very like of the moment and of the controversial medium. That being said, I liked what I saw overall.
Yeah, the only thing I really missed was the humor.
It's there occasionally. I like when Vash tries to cry to get out of them trying to... Should we just go into the beats of it? Episode 1 is called No Man's Land. The Slowman's Shield. And it starts like pretty much from canonically the beginning of the Trigun story, that you wouldn't get from the original anime unless you watched at least until like the middle. I don't remember if the manga actually starts on the spaceship. I have it all in another room. I could just go grab it, but it might start with like more of the three of theirs relationship on the spaceship. But here it just starts with this woman named Rem sending two twins in an escape pod out of a big spaceship that seems to be filled with other people. Because it actually opens with one of the kids saying like, hi everyone, good morning. And then like an explosion happens and the ship is like, you got to evacuate. And Rem puts these two kids on and they're like, you're going to escape, right? And she's like, yeah. And then they flee and the whole thing blows up. I don't think Rem lived. It did not look possible.
She could have fit in that escape pod.
How is Rem related to... We learn one of these kids is Vash. How is Rem related to them?
You don't know that.
Oh, we don't know that.
I don't have to tell you anything.
Okay.
I don't owe you shit.
She's not their mom or anything.
No. I think that's fair to say, because they wouldn't call her...
They would have called her mom.
They'd call her mama. And then we jump.
Yeah, and she says something like, I was happy to meet you or something, right?
Yes.
Or I was happy to know you.
Yeah, she does say happy to meet you, actually. Good call.
Yeah.
So you took mental notes.
I did.
Then we go down to the surface of the desert planet, which is like, it's an entire planet of like, sort of like Wild West, Old West, or like fucking whatever it's called in Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
This whole planet is just that.
Yeah. And there is Meryl Streep.
Oh, by the way, right. For you guys, I don't know if you remember this because I talked about it when we watched Blood Blockade Battlefront, but this is the same manga author as Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Okay.
So, yeah. You guys know how I always talk about Kuso Regado, right? Same creator.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Meryl Streep.
So Meryl Streep.
Is she supposed to be named after Meryl Streep?
As you said it, I'm like, oh, right. Probably.
Probably. Is she a new character or was she in the 98 version?
She was in the 98 version.
Okay.
Her compadre is not in this new one.
Okay.
Instead, it's this annoying, grizzled old guy trope.
Roberto.
Oh, I liked him.
Did you catch his last name?
No, what is it?
Because I don't think they say it, but they showed it in the trailer and it made me lose my mind.
What's his name?
His name is Roberto De Niro.
I love it.
Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro. That's funny.
Shit, were they in a movie together? I think they were.
I don't know.
Here. Meryl Streep.
Were they in like Meet the Fockers or something?
No, they are in a 1984 romantic drama film called Falling in Love.
Okay.
It was a box office bomb. So says Wikipedia.
Nothing more recent?
No, I think it would have popped up sooner on my Google search if it were more recent.
So he's a new character.
He is a new character for this reboot. So that's the other sin that they committed.
And
was,
what's his job? She's a journalist. Meryl Streep is a journalist.
He's also a journalist.
Oh, they're both journalists.
They're both journalists. It seems like their publication also does gossip, I think.
Oh.
He sort of implies that they're on a gossip detail here.
Hmm.
Which in one way makes sense that they would continue to chase this guy who's clearly a fucking danger.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funnier. Yes, I agree with you, Jackie.
The insurance thing is so much funnier.
Yeah, that they're an insurance company that's like, hey, this town exploded because you have to pay up. But yeah, so they did a few things here. I mentioned they like changed the characters to have a very trendy haircut. They used CGI. The soundtrack is newer. I don't think that's what most people's problem is. But then they also just replaced a character that was in episode one. She now seems to be replaced by, I'm sorry, Miles. But what I think is like a very tropey guy.
I didn't think he was tropey, but I found him boring. I was like, what's his purpose? Who cares? You know?
Oh, I liked him.
Why'd you like him, Miles? You tell us.
I like that he was like gruff on the surface, but he really, in the end, ended up putting his arm around young Meryl and taking her under his wing.
Okay.
I guess. For me, it's a little insult to injury that it's like, here's a new character we invented that's like unabashedly just Robert De Niro's name, and he's like bullying original character Meryl, when like that's sort of the fun thing about the original is that Meryl is actually the mentor to Millie, even though she's shorter than
Millie.
Her.
Okay, I remember them, yeah.
And she's a little bit more tsundere, a little bit, where she's like colder on the outside, warmer on the inside, mm-hmm. and she also carries a bunch of tiny guns in the original.
I did miss that dynamic. I really liked Millie and Meryl.
Yeah, Millie and Meryl
are
very fun.
I like these two as well. I'm willing to give them a shot.
Yeah, we'll give them a shot. But Millie was also fun because she was a gentle giant. She's like 6 feet tall or something, but is sort of a ditz. I like that. You don't see that set up for a female character very often. But whatever. We get the whole rookie and grizzled veteran dynamic. So if you're into that, that's here. And these two journalists are talking about how they're looking for Vash the Stampede, who is apparently a menace to society. I don't know. What are they told? What did they think of him before? Because this got going so fast that I don't even remember what they think they've heard about Vash.
Because
they don't know the bounty, I think. That shows up later for them, right?
I think they do know. The first thing they see of him is the bounty poster.
Well, that's when they get there. I'm thinking of the car conversation.
No, they see like a... They see a poster that doesn't say the name, I think, and doesn't have a picture, maybe. They know who they're looking for and why, but then later they see the poster with the picture on it. Because they're looking for him, then they talk to him without realizing it, and then they see the poster, and they're like, the man that we just saw was him.
I think the assignment is that this person is a menace and is stealing plants and stuff.
He's stealing plants, which is a funny play on words. I don't know if it's intentional.
What are the significance of plants here?
I think they're the energy source on a barren planet.
Okay.
And they maybe are also a water source because it's just a desert.
Okay.
They're going to cover this guy for a newspaper they work for. They are in there and Robert De Niro is telling Meryl Streep about how dangerous it is and how she's too green, she's gonna die. And then he's like, look at that. And there's a Borderlands looking setup of, I don't know if it's animals as well, but also a guy hanging upside down from some sort of structure. And but then he turns out to be alive and moving. He's not just a dead body. Meryl goes to cut him down.
Mm-hmm. Or something.
Or something. And they then realize who he is, or like a bunch of, they realize who he is, but a bunch of, no, they don't realize, right? It's like the cops show up and show the poster.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're looking for Vash the Stampede. He looks like this. And he's got a $6 million double dollar bounty on his head. I still don't know why it's double dollar. Almost feels like that was to counter inflation or something, but it doesn't seem to have helped. And Meryl's like, I did see him. He went that away. And she points them in the wrong direction. Classic move.
Yeah.
And then Vash is like, oh, you guys are so nice.
You guys are nice people.
And she gets flattered by this. She's like, you think we're nice? But then they're like, no, we want an exclusive interview before we turn you in for the bounty.
Everybody's going to turn him in. He can't make any friends.
That's true. Because that's the thing, is if he were just whatever people think he is, then they'd stay away from him. But because he's so calm and quiet, they're all like, sorry, buddy, but I need the money. And it seems like a planet and place where people just die all the time. So maybe it's like, hey, man, it was probably going to happen anyway. But whatever. So they take him into town to go to a diner. They're somehow very excited to go to a diner with a human prisoner. And think that that's not going to be a problem. But it turns out the bartender, who's a pregnant lady named Rosa, is like, oh, it's Vash. Why do you guys have Vash tied up? What's the deal with that? And Vash is like, I'm not tied up. And he just takes the rope off himself.
Yeah.
Which shows that he could have done that at any time.
Yeah.
And she's like, Vash helped us. He saved this town. So what's your deal? And Vash is like, no, they're my friends. And she's like, all right, yes, there's a reason you're hanging out with them. But then the military police do figure it out. After going that away, they figure out, no, he didn't go that away. He went to, what do they call this place? Geneora Rock? Geneora? Is that supposed to be January?
Oh, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a dumb town because it's, is it built on a rock that is perched on another rock, or is it built under a rock that is on another rock? That's like if you were like, let's name this town Sword of Damocles, and a sword was like held up by a rope over your whole town. Don't do that. What if it falls? Anyway. Rosa explains that Vash had saved the town because they have a plant that powers their whole town. This is pretty common in this world. We kind of get the vibe is a thing here that these plants are what allow people to live on the desert planet. And then they're like, yeah, but we one of our plants is also dying now, so we need your help again, Vash. He goes to the plants. I don't know how he fixes them or helps.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember if or how he does this in the original anime.
I don't remember plants in the episodes that we saw.
It takes a while for plants to show up, I think. And even when they do show up in the original, they don't really explain anything about it.
Okay.
So while he's there and he's looking at this plant that is dying, the military police show up and they're like, haha, here you are. And then Roberto De Niro is like, you guys are cowards. You can't just take him away. You should have a duel. Partially because I think he knows it'll buy Vash time, but also because he just wants to see a sensational story, see something crazy happen. And I don't know about you guys, but maybe because I've read and watched the originals, but it's like, I don't think Vash is going to shoot him. I don't think he's going to do it. He broke out of that rope when he seems like he could have done that earlier. He just wants to be left alone.
He likes to run away from fights.
He likes to run away.
That's his jam.
Yes.
He's like Kira.
Aww.
I don't think he's like Kira.
He wants to be left alone.
Oh, that's true. He wants to be left alone. He's regular. So then he goes up to some high up place to duel the military police commander guy. But then he's like, I don't want to fight. And he just drops his gun. He's like, I don't want to. And the other guy is like, oh, yeah, me neither. But then he pulls out a cluster bomb launcher and fires it up into the air. So there's like 100 little bombs that are about to land on Vash and everyone. So this guy's the worst military officer in the history of any military. That he's like, yeah, let's have a duel, but I'm going to blow up a large area. And he himself does not run very far either, by the way. I don't know if he knows how far that cluster launcher was going to, but he didn't seem that far. And anyway, Vash is like, oh, does anyone have ammo for my widow gun? Does anyone have 22 long rifle, 22 LR for my widow gun? That's like the smallest handgun caliber, by the way. It's like the smallest common. It would not split a rock into a billion pieces, but whatever. Sorry.
That's later.
He hits it in the right spot.
No.
Is that's here? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I'm cutting out some stuff because The thing is, it's like when I remember something, then I end up saying every single detail, and we don't need that. My brain can't turn things into broad strokes. Because
there's definitely notes here that we miss stuff.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, they talk about knives. So they like he mentions that his brother's name is Millions Knives.
I think that's after.
Oh, really?
I think so. I'm looking at a
after what's her face gives him the bullet that he needs.
I think it's after he saves the town. Then he's like,
yeah. Then he asks, "Is there anything you're afraid of?"
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so there's these cluster bombs in the air for an absurdly long amount of time. By the way, while he's looking for ammo, somehow I don't remember how Millie doesn't exist. Meryl gets a bullet to him. She's brave enough to run back out there where the cluster bombs are going to fall. Gets a bullet to him, and meanwhile, the military leader like tries to kick the bullet away from Vash. Regardless, Vash knocks him out. He throws a rock into the air that he picked out of the ground with his, by the way, like cyborg arm. I forgot to mention that as part of his redesign, he has a cyborg arm.
Did he not have one before?
In the original, it is eventually revealed that his one of his arms is not a regular humanoid arm, but it takes forever to get there, I think.
Okay.
But in this case, it's like a big, it's actually glass. I don't know if you guys saw that, but you can see through parts of his arm.
His arm is glass? That's not a smart idea.
Well, I don't know if it's really glass. It's space glass.
It's just clear.
It's clear. Something is clear to me. So with that arm, he just rips a part of the earth out, throws this big rock into the air, shoots it with a very small bullet, but it explodes into pieces, and those pieces somehow hit all of the clusters, which explode in the air, saving the town. I thought this was a little far-fetched. I guess maybe if the cluster bombs, a few of them explode, they do a chain reaction. Maybe that's what's happening here, but it was a little silly for me. It's a little, come on, a little over the top. But he saves the town, and Roberto's like, you're running from something, and I don't know how you weren't like freaking out over those cluster bombs, so what are you really afraid of? And Vash is like, my brother, who in the original, like in the opening scenes, Rem calls him Nye. And I was like, are you serious? Did they change this guy's name?
Yeah.
But here then Vash reveals that his name is Millions Knives. So his full name is Knives.
Wait, where did you see him calling him Nye?
Rem calls him Nye.
Oh, she Rem calls
him and
Nye.
Vash on the little escape
Vash
pod.
Vash calls him Nye too.
Oh, Vash
like
does?
Yeah, kids. Vash calls him, when they're kids. Okay, I missed that and I only saw it like later, I think in episode 3 when he's being all weird and I was like, wait, not, is that the brother? Or and then I realized, oh, okay, it's short for Knives. I get it.
By the way, I want to say, if you name children and one of them, you pick a weapony name for them, they might be evil.
Yeah.
Either you knew they were going to be evil or they went evil when they found out.
Or they're
going to
be really cool.
Yeah, it's true. Knives is pretty cool. But you can't hug a knife.
I mean, they shouldn't have named him Trigun.
They didn't name him Trigun, Jackie. They named him Vash.
What's a Vash?
It's nothing I can say that isn't awful.
Well, stampedes are also kind of evil. They killed.
That's true.
They killed Mufasa.
Well,
from the Lion King.
What animals do to each other is not our business. It's fine.
Did you guys? You didn't talk about how Vash is riding a chocobo. There's a lot of chocobos in this.
That's true. He is riding a giant bird.
Yeah.
But the episode ends with him asking Roberto, asking Vash, what are you afraid of? And he's like, my brother, Millions Knives. He killed, I don't know how he explains who Rem is to them, but he killed someone and he is the reason why humanity is stranded
in
no man's land.
You see the fat flashback of him talking to his brother. His brother is looking all evil and on a hill of some sort.
He's on one of the destroyed ships.
Okay. And he's like, you're my accomplice, basically. He says something like that. Like, you helped me. I don't know how.
I don't think he does. I think he knows that he's going to be blamed for it too. Vash is. Because something about him is different. And that's the end of episode 1. Episode 2 is like, it kind of, it's not like, I feel like the original Trigun would almost be these little self-contained stories as he moves about. This feels a little bit more continuous. So Vash explains that he had been accused of stealing these town's plants, but really it's his brother Knives who's doing it. Which is interesting because, yeah, in the original, it's the insurance company is after him because he destroys towns and like hurts or kills lots of people. He's just seen as like another criminal who is just really destructive. And he's explaining that. And then suddenly the town that he had just helped, including with the pregnant bar owner lady,
Rosa,
they all point guns at Vash and they're like, sorry, but we really need the money.
Yeah.
You know that the only way to fix our dying plant is to buy another one. So we're going to need the money.
And they chase after him. He runs because that's what he does. He runs away. And then it gets real 3D looking. And I was like, this looks like a video game. But like,
it does.
He's a cartoon. Like, he's a cartoon running through a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's what it looked like to me. Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Okay. Well, people love that movie. But it was not for children. But yeah, then this is weird. I don't know if it's this episode or which. Both like episodes 2 and 3 introduce a bunch of characters at the same time.
Mm.
Like, it does feel like they are crunching a lot together, I think.
Mm.
Especially like Knives is barely introduced until way later in Trigon 98. Mm. But these two, again, like fucked up weirdo dudes that look like they're from Mad Max. The Nebraska family. That's what they were called in 98 anyway, but it is just two people.
Yeah.
The nameless father, Nebraska, and his son, Gofsef.
Gofsef.
Gofsef. They're driving.
Go
fuck Seth, please.
Oh.
They're driving into town, or rather they're holding some regular guy hostage while he drives them into town. And they're talking about how they're going to get the bounty. And it's like, picture like a little mad scientist looking guy, or he had white dreadlocks, I'm not sure. And like three teeth. And then his son, he keeps seeing like, my son is going to become stupid because he's banging his head on the ceiling. His son is just like a huge, huge man. Kind of looks like a Frankenstein type of guy. He's got a huge forehead. They show up. His son has a hand that's like, I don't know what hero that's like. Is it Hellboy? I think Hellboy has a hand that like can fly off his arm and punch people, and then he rings it back because it's on a string. And the dad has just an RPG, a rocket launcher.
He has glasses too. That's a superpower.
Is it? Doesn't feel like it, Miles. You don't wear them.
I wish I did.
Yeah, so they show up, and then they really want Vash, and I think that they, like, they're also mean to the townspeople, or no? Where does he confront them? Where does he... Oh, they show up when he's trying to escape, but the bartender and the other ladies block them from leaving the town.
They show up and they almost kill Tonus.
Right, because they can't control the car because they're dumbasses.
Yeah.
Who don't know how to drive.
Yeah, and so they're all like, they have Vash kind of surround, the townspeople have Vash surrounded like they're going to get him, and then he saves Tonus anyway.
Tony's, he saves this little boy who gifted him bugs.
Yeah, just carrying around bugs being
When that kid showed up with the bugs and gave it to Vash, Meryl has this like visceral reaction. She puts up something to hide. And because I didn't know they were bugs at first, I thought Meryl was afraid of children. Because it was just a little boy.
Why is this kid giving Vash bugs?
Reasons.
Kids are weird.
Kids are weird.
There's no, okay, it's not explained.
Vash
just,
is weird.
Kids are weird. Got it.
He's just giving him these like firefly type bugs.
Oh.
So yeah, they're trying to leave the town. The townspeople are like, you can't leave. We need that money. And then this awful family shows up. Almost kills one of the young
father-son duo. Yeah, almost kills a child.
Vash keeps evading their attacks, and he kind of counters them, but he like doesn't really attack them.
This is where Vash rides a chocobo.
Okay, yeah. So they
to run away.
He rides a chocobo away because there was a bunch of dust. He was able to escape.
For those who don't know, chocobos are from Final Fantasy.
They're giant yellow birds. Everyone knows.
Some people don't know.
I'm joking.
Maybe.
He rides his bird away. Then Roberto and Meryl.
Sorry. Bird away. He rides his bird away, and then Roberto, it sounds like.
Yeah, Roberto. Roberto Januero and Meryl ride up to him, and they talk to him, and the Frankenstein family people are trying to hit Vash, but he keeps avoiding it. He, at one point, I think he kicks it back to them or something. He does something where he counters their attack, the stupid fist from the sun that keeps flying at him. And then they give up on Vash, and it's like, okay, they're done. Vash is a, he's a pacifist. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. But then they hear on the radio, I think, that the town is being attacked by them. Because now the father and son, father and Gofsef, Nebraska, are like, why don't we just take this town's plant? And they're being dicks, and they're throwing the townspeople around, including Rosa, who is pregnant, by the way. And then Vash shows up and talks to them, and they're like,
he saves Rosa.
He saves Rosa. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, but they're trying to kill you. Like, how could you save them? And he's like, I just want to help everyone. And then at one point,
it's like people want to turn him in, and he's still like, I will still be a nice guy.
Yeah. Help you. And at one point, the son, Nebraska, falls off a thing, but he saves him and makes the townspeople help him. And they're asking like whose side he's on, but he just repeats that he just wants everyone to live.
They ask him over every single, like so many people ask him what side he's on.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm on the good side, always, whatever the good guys.
Yeah.
I do the right thing.
I think it's because part of it is that Vash is so powerful that he is like, no one can actually fucking hurt me. Like, I don't really. If these people throw me in jail, I'll get out of jail. I don't care. They can't execute me. I'll just, whatever I got to do that seems to keep the peace, I'm going to do that. The problem is sometimes his actions lead to violence in other directions. Mm. But this is a very violent place. Anyway. So everyone seems to get along, but then these like bug grenades crawl into the bar. They attach themselves to Gofsef, who runs outside of the bar and blows up. At one point, Father Nebraska calls him my darling son. And I was like, aw.
Yeah, it was sad.
It was sad. Even though those guys are dicks and they threw a pregnant lady.
Oh, that's true.
Episode 2 ends like that. With the sun blowing up. I thought it would be the thing where like, he's fine. He's a big guy. But no, apparently he's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead. He blew up. So yeah, episode 3 features several villains, really. It features the Nebraskans are still involved. They're not necessarily
the
bad guys.
You got Knives Chow from Scott Pilgrim.
You've got Knives Chow, and you've got I can't make
Okuyasu.
A joke. E.G. Okuyasu. Yeah. Oh, and you've got my iron giant. My iron friend. The big gorilla robot that shows up with a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
The big gorilla robot who has... He just moves like a gorilla on his like knuckles. Jackie looks confused.
I don't remember this girl.
And there's like a doctor standing on his hand and a little blonde girl who has a similar haircut to Vash and Knives.
Okay.
And I was like, what are you doing? You're introducing too much. My wife is going to forget that some of you were in this episode.
Yep, that's me.
So yeah, these grenades are crawling in and Roberto is like, this must be E.G. Hamilton, who they also call E.G. Bomber.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little annoyed at this at first.
I thought they were saying E.Z. Bomber, but the subtitle said E.G.
No, they do at one point say he's like E.Z. Bomber.
Oh.
I don't know if that was intentional. The subtitles, I don't know. In some ways, they're right to change a few things, but I don't know. The original series, he was always E.G. Bomber. Or no, he was always E.G. Mine.
Oh.
In this, they make it so that he's like, I was E.G. Bomber, but now I'm E.G. Mine.
Mm.
I don't know if that was necessary, whatever.
E.G. Bomber sounds better.
Eh. So you say.
E.G. Mine.
So he just likes blowing up people because he's a real sicko. And these grenades are attaching to people. Other people are blowing up.
So why does he sends his little spider grenades onto people and they latch on and then they just like chill for a while. Why does he do that?
I think he maybe just likes seeing people scared, or maybe he doesn't realize, or maybe it's time-based even. I don't know.
But like why? Why would he, like once it attaches, it should just blow up, you know? Why wait? If it is to make people like freak out, then yeah, that makes sense. If he wants to see people scared, then fine. But otherwise, it's like just throw like a real bomb, like a bomb that will instantly blow up, or that blows up at like the right time without giving people a chance to like stop it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because he wants, they say at one point that he's maybe a sicko who likes to watch
Yeah.
So maybe he's like seeing people and blowing up what he has line of sight on.
Yeah, they say that he likes to watch from like afar. He likes to be nearby. Like a serial killer or something.
So yeah, then E.G. Mine actually looks like what I'm used to seeing him as, which is he's covered in two spiky balls or two halves of a spiky ball.
He's basically in a hamster wheel.
He's in a hamster wheel that's made out of spikes.
Does he have to run really fast in there?
I don't think so. I think it's motorized.
I think he does.
No, because we see him later. He's actually sitting in a thing that's like not even inside of it, I think at one point. That would be funny though. In the original, when he shows up, not only does he have this like I'm a spiky boy ball, but he also has dead bodies of villains that Vash tried to not kill and succeeded in not killing, but he's killed them. And so he's like, well, look what a bad guy I am.
I like that.
I killed your last two foes. But anyway, what they do here is this is actually Meryl's idea. They talk about like Roberto's like, get away from me, or you know, you'll be committing suicide with a drunk because he has a bomb on him. And she's like, she goes, suicide? That's it. And then they switched to another scene, which was weird. But basically, when EG is talking to Vash, Meryl grabs him and Roberto grabs him, and they both have bombs that are going off. And they're like, you have to deactivate the bombs. You got to do it. And he's like, oh, the button's on my back. And they pull off the emergency thing. They stop the bombs. I was worried that he would be like, I'm bomb proof. I don't care, but he's not. So he does shut off the bomb. So everybody who was alive, I guess he can't selectively deactivate. I think anybody else who would have had an unblown up bomb is fine. Anyway.
Yeah, seems like not good for him.
Yeah, the wiki summary here says that Vash stops the townspeople from taking his life. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Anyway,
I don't either. But they probably said like, "Whose side are you on?" At that point,
because they do that.
So probably he tries to stop them from killing him, and he's like, and somebody's like, "Whose side are you on?"
Then we see a guy in like, I believe it's the same hood that he's wearing when he's a little baby boy on a spaceship. We just see a guy in a big bubbly white suit playing an organ that they have in town. They felt the need to build an organ. And then Vash hears it and he's like, everybody has to evacuate. Everyone leave. And he seems really scared. So Meryl and Roberto actually listen. They try to evacuate and they're convincing people to leave. Because again, this makes sense. Vash is actually scared for other people here. And then Knives is disgusting because Bomberman runs up there to see Knives. He calls him Master. And he's like, he's talking to him while he's playing the organ, which is a little rude. It's got to be hard to keep time with someone talking to you. Some people can do it, you know? Maybe like
it's not a concert. You can stop and listen.
It's true. But if someone is your dangerous commanding master and they're playing organ, they want to play organ. I think you should wordlessly lean in and just sort of wave to say, I'm here, just FYI. Take your time. We'll talk more about organ etiquette on the Patreon. So Knives, I don't know if it's because of what I'm saying or if he just doesn't like this guy, but he somehow, his arms, this guy's arms fly off. They are somehow severed from his body. And then we just see E.G. Mine, a very short-lived villain, being like, oh, why did you do this? And blood is shooting out of his arm stumps, out of where his arms used to be. And he's dead, which is good, because it'd be annoying if you had some armless guy walking around talking. And then you only really get a hint as to what Knives' deal is here. You just see what looks like some sort of mechanical barbed wire thingy. But then he approaches, he's going somewhere. He's walking up the stairs somewhere, and Rosa and two other women are firing at him with machine guns, and Knives kills in pretty gruesome fashion the first two ladies. And then does Vash intervene to save Rosa?
Yes. He's like, yeah. Dr. Octopus, this guy.
Yeah, that is kind of what he's like. It seems like his clothing, his like hood is made out of
Like metal spikes or something.
Metal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Little metal shards that spin and float and like move around in unison.
He seems very sharp.
I wrote down, he's like the Dio of this.
Yeah, for sure. Effortlessly, very powerful.
He says something about God and moving ahead to bring everything back to even.
Yeah. Which, what are you going to do? Make it so there's two people
Sounds
left?
Very, like, epic.
Yeah. And he plays the organ, for God's sake. I think, I'm trying to remember if he does play piano in the original, or if I'm just thinking about the fact that one of his henchmen, I think, is named Legato.
What's the most evil instrument? Is it the organ?
Ooh.
It's up there.
The theremin's pretty bad.
What's a theremin?
It's that alien noise that's like...
Oh.
It's just a thing you put your hand in front of.
But I don't think if somebody was playing that, it wouldn't be menacing, you know?
Well, you've never like been abducted by aliens.
Like, I'm a theremin player or whatever. What is it called?
Theremin.
I'm a theremin player.
Theremin sounds like something you drink when you're sick.
Hmm.
Organs up there. What else is evil? What about that
sometimes
box?
Sometimes harmonica.
Ooh, harmonica could be evil if you're like a serial killer or something, I feel like.
Is it evil, Miles? Why is it evil?
I'm thinking of, it can be evil. It can be like a portend of bad things happening. I'm thinking of Once Upon a Time in the West. Actually, the hero played the harmonica, but he would play it before like murdering people.
Mm.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that film. What's that box that like street musicians have? They like sit on it and you can drum on it or rub the sides of it to make a different noise. That doesn't seem good. I don't think you should play an instrument you're sitting on.
Okay.
Seems wrong. And like acoustic guitar.
Acoustic guitar is not evil.
Sometimes you're like, oh, he has an acoustic guitar, and then he starts playing it and you're like, oh, this guy sucks. Does that ever happen? Like it's an omen sometimes.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of like when you're at a college party. Maybe that's the guy I'm mad at.
I think it's organ.
Okay, organ's up there for sure. Anyway.
I'm just trying to think of like what weapon would be like if you... what instrument, if you used it as a weapon, would be the deadliest.
Well, if you like threw someone at a harp really hard, they'd be like cut into slivers because it's just all the strings.
Okay.
Or piano too, obviously. You could shut the top on them of a grand piano over and over. They'd be like they're being eaten. You can kill people with a lot of instruments.
Okay.
Anyway. I don't know how, because I don't remember what the fuck Knives' power is in the original.
Oh, also, he says something, I don't know if this was a flashback or not, but Knives says something like, you can't even control your gait yet. Something like that. And he was talking to, what's his name?
Vash.
I was going to say Trigun. Vash. He says that to Vash. What is that? What's your gait?
I don't remember
magical
that.
Powers?
Do you remember this, Miles?
What a
yes,
gait
I remember
is?
That, and I didn't know what he was talking about.
Oh, okay.
I think you just don't know yet.
Well, yeah, we don't know yet, Jackie.
But do you know?
No, but that might be memory's fault.
Okay.
Again, like, it's like there's some shades of the anime that I remember more clearly than the manga, because I read the manga pretty fucking fast. But maybe I should have stopped and read more. I don't know. I don't exactly know what a gate is, but it does seem to be some sort of time-based fuckery. I want to talk about Knives' power. I don't remember what Knives does in the original anime other than mostly just be a thing like whispered about every now and then. And then he just wants a lot of people to die. And yes, he did cause the incident in the first place. But here, it just like, on one hand, I think the CGI is the only way you could have that many objects tracking on screen that way. You couldn't actually have people draw and keep track of that many fucking objects. It'd be annoying. But it also is the most obviously 3D animated looking thing in the show.
That's true.
And so it
kind
of...
Yeah, this didn't look great.
Yeah, it lost a little bit of its edge for me. But yeah, this guy's an asshole, Knives is.
He's bad.
He's an asshole right away. But yeah, he does two things here. One is that Vash confronts him and somehow Knives is able to like freeze him in place. And that's where he talks about the gate. He like touches the tip of Vash's gun, which made me think it was disabled, but it's not. And when he does that, Vash seems to like revert to a boy. It's almost like he's in like a time gate or something. I don't know. Or some sort of dimensional gate.
I wasn't sure. I was like, is that a flashback? I thought it was a flashback maybe, but
it
I guess
might
not.
Have been. He was in some sort of incapacitated state. And that lets Knives leave the organ place. And then Knives is like, I don't know what he says, but somehow he takes something Vash said to him or whatever, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to kill this whole town. And he puts all the knives all around him, and then he suddenly sort of drops them like a bunch of razors and cuts the rocks that I guess this town is on or under. So the whole town just starts fucking falling apart.
Under.
Again, why'd you put it there? And so we don't see people being like crushed by the rocks, but considering like how worried for their town they already were, not having like clean water, losing a power source very soon, I am sure a lot of people died. And we are not shown a ton of survivors. But no. Knives just like crushes and kills this entire town and is then like, mm-hmm. I'm leaving.
The big robot steals the plant.
Oh yeah, that like that weird trio of enemies. This mangaka loves doing contrasts, especially with like families or groups of enemies, where he's like, I'm gonna have a really fat short guy, like inhumanly fat, over wide, and then a really stringy tall lady. Like he just loves having huge dynamic contrasts. And then yeah, Rosa there, who has no right to say this, but is like, none of this wouldn't have happened if you came here. Because I guess like the only reason why the Nebraska family wanted to steal the plant from them is because of Vash like leading them to Geneora in the first place.
Well, yeah, wherever Vash goes, he has a bunch of people who want to attack him. So he's going to bring misfortune to whatever town he goes to.
Yeah, but he also points out that he's not the one stealing plants. That's Knives doing it.
Yeah.
Like, Knives was going to do this anyway, it seems.
Why is Knives so evil? Do we know?
Seems like he was that way since he was a child.
Is he just a fucking sociopath?
I guess.
A little psycho baby?
Well, he...
Some children are evil. We can blame the children.
He crashed the ships.
Yeah, that's a really evil...
He killed, like, a ton of people.
That's a very evil thing to do at like 10 or whatever age he was.
My impression...
Yeah, and he laughed his little butt off and went, Vash.
Vash.
I think, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a mop-up effort, you know, that he's like, I killed most people and now there's still some survivors. Because I kind of feel like a lot of time must have passed. If he's the reason why they're stranded there is because he crashed the ship, then like they had a lot of time to build these Wild West towns. I don't know. How long they've been there? Anyway, so the Rosa, the town sort of matriarch, is like, that guy's your brother. Everything, you know, anything we have to do with you, anytime we interact with you, something terrible happens. Just leave. And she goes, never show your face here ever again. And I kind of wanted to be like, what's here, lady? Because there's no town. Okay, it just got fucked up.
They
got
to rebuild it.
They do. But I might suggest relocating.
Why? What is that going to do?
Well,
nothing there anymore.
I guess you could salvage stuff, maybe.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Just like go move into a new town?
Yeah.
But they like their town.
I guess.
They like they're a community of their own people.
They should just do like what they do.
They can rebuild it better.
Just do like what Seattle or some parts of France did, where you just build a town over the old town and dead bodies and stuff. You just go, fuck it, start over. Fuck it. That's what they should do, maybe. And you know what? This time, don't put the rock above your town. That's what I recommend.
They have no plant, though. They have no way of getting water.
Yeah. I don't know. They got to figure out a different way of sustaining life. Can't go the water route this time. Maybe try eating and drinking fire. Anyway. Then Vash is leaving. Vash leaves. And is it Roberto or someone is like, where are you going? And he's like, east. to July, because that's Knives' next destination. I don't know how he knows that. This show isn't in order, you know? Fucking Meryl went to November University. They were just at January Rock, and now they're going to July?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they mentioned May at some point, but I might have made that up.
All over the place.
Yeah, so it's just hard because this first triple of episodes ends with an entire town being killed, some ladies being murdered by a guy made out of really terrible slinky material. And apparently episode 4 features Wolfwood, who is a beloved character from...
Yes, the I was wondering where that guy was.
Yeah, yeah, he's beloved from the original work. He also takes a while to show up in that one too, I think. He carries a cross around, which is cool. But we didn't see that.
All of a sudden you love Jesus?
Yeah. I do. In the Wild West, because I have to. I never heard of Jewish people being in the Wild West. Have you?
I guess not.
Yeah. But yeah, Wolfwood also is probably back in the day and definitely here and now the source of...
Wait, is that why the only good bagels are in the tri-state area?
They're in the Trigon area. Wait, is that what she meant? Yes, Miles, that is why. I don't know how, but it is. Some people say it's the water, but I don't believe that.
No, I think it's because the Jews didn't go to the Wild West.
That's right. I think
they just stuck around.
Bagels are probably good in LA too, but I'm not sure.
No way.
But yeah, Wolfwood is the source of much gay shipping with Vash.
Yeah, Wolfwood sounds like a gay porn star situation.
Like he wolfs down guys' woods.
Or something.
He wolfs their dicks down.
Or he has a wolf dick.
Ugh. I don't like that.
All right. Well, I do.
What you call it? The thing is, too, is they also updated Vash's design. I don't know if his clothes, though, look like modern clothes. I don't know what people are wearing in, like, super fashion-y hip-hop land.
I like the way he looks, okay? I guarantee it.
It just feels like, I don't know, the undercut thing feels like so much more effort to be like, just shave the sides really low, but leave the top long. I don't know. But in the original, I kind of understood some of the sexualization of Vash more because he was wearing, like, underneath his coat, he's wearing, like, skin-tight leather straps all over his body. It looked more bondage-y. But here, I just think he's wearing, like, a sweatshirt.
His coat is a hoodie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. It's not a sleeveless vest. In my head right now, it's a sleeveless vest. All vests are sleeveless, I guess. A sleeveless hoodie.
It's like just an innocuous black sweater, it looks like.
Oh, the thing underneath? Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe we'll never know. Anyway.
I'm sure he takes the coat off at some point.
Maybe, maybe. Anyway, those were the three episodes of Trigon Stampede that we watched. I would like one grade A, please.
Good job, us.
Good job, us.
I would have, I've said it before, my final thoughts are just, I would have liked this to be funnier.
Yeah.
Me too. It's too serious. But
I wonder, if I didn't see the original Trigun, how would I feel? I don't know.
I would feel that this is certainly a show
I would probably think this was cool.
It's certainly a show that has no problem killing people.
Oh, what I do like about this one is that I like that it kind of, it like knows where it ends up. So from the beginning, you get like hints to the past and the future, I think, you know, like instead of just like where you can kind of tell with like the original Trigun, you don't know where it's going to end up, really.
Yeah, for the first few episodes. Definitely for the first few episodes, you don't really know what Vash is doing and stuff. Yeah.
So I like that you kind of get a little bit of a backstory and then that's sprinkled in throughout the episodes. And so that helps you learn more about the character and where he came from. And also, like, you get a central, I don't know, what's the word conflict. Like,
there's a running.
You have multiple conflicts.
You know the stakes right away.
Yeah, yeah, but like you have the big conflict or the major scary thing, which is his brother. But then you also have everybody who's just after Vash, which is like kind of funny. But like, I don't know. The stakes aren't as high because he can just escape everyone. It's not a big deal. But then when you get the brother stuff, like that's the meat.
The original one feels more, now that I think about it, it feels a little bit more like Beverly Hills Cop, where, I don't know if you guys have seen that movie,
but
for like half the movie or more, you're not sure if Eddie Murphy is like a dumbass, like, or terrible at his job. And then when he's actually like, you realize he's actually been doing something bigger, like he's actually been working on something and he goes into action, you're like, oh, he's actually really smart. And that's the thing is, I don't know if it needs to happen for 10 episodes or whatever. But there is something nice about, okay, when you watch the original, you're like, this is just a guy who goes from place to place trying to stop violence and also trying not to be killed himself without killing other people. But it does feel a little bit like, what's the fucking through line here after a while? So I'm glad they introduced Knives early, but he does way too much early enough that it feels like the seriousness started way too soon. It feels like, okay, fun times were cut very short. Because
there
suddenly,
were no fun times.
There's a little fun time when Vash is first with them and stuff, and then when they're interviewing him, it's funny. And the Nebraska, yeah, I guess they're not that fun the whole time. Yeah,
it's pretty not fun.
By the way, I like that, Colin. The way you wrote your email, it sounds like you're saying that, oh, my friends were trying to convince me to watch this, and then two of them came over and decided we must watch. It sounds like you were held hostage and forced to watch this show. I don't know if that's what happened, but sounds like you're a victim.
If you need help, I don't know, send us
press 3.
We can't actually help you. Call the police. If you need help, call the police. I was going to say like
call send someone.
I was going to say like call, send us an email with and but then I was like, no, we can't help you.
Yeah, we're probably
email,
not the people.
Email the police.
Yeah. They are jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com.
Email the FBI.
Yeah, overall, I'm interested to see where it goes. And if the second season is indeed like retelling the story from the original, I'm intrigued by that. But
it's changing things. Little things.
It is changing
like
things.
Removing characters.
And stuff from the original is here, too. The Nebraska family were in the original. E.G. Mine, E.G. Bomber was in the original. So I don't know how much of the story there is really, and plants are already a thing. So I don't know.
You gotta watch the whole thing, Mark.
That's fine. I'll do it. I'll watch Vash the Stampede talk about. He'll be making TikToks and wearing Air Jordans and stuff. Just doing things that Zoomers do that I don't get it. He'll be recording TikToks. All the hot young new Vash stuff will be happening. My brain can't understand. He'll be doing streams where he pretends to be an NPC, eating emojis. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was all right. I would give this 2 guns out of 3.
Okay.
What do you think, Jackie?
Yeah, I think I would give this duo guns.
Duo guns?
Yeah.
What's the theme from Beverly Hills Cop?
Axel F.
It's famous, right?
Dun 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 dun. Yeah. Because he's Axel Foley. So it's just his theme.
Gotcha.
It's a decent movie. But yeah, watching it, I was like, people love this movie, but he sucks at his job. What the fuck? Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I might like to know more. I might watch more. I want to see their take on Wolfwood. I would love it. I'd love it if season 2 started and like just a giant sign falls on Robert De Niro's head and Millie shows up. That'd be fine with me, kind of. I don't know. I don't like him talking shit.
I miss Millie.
Well,
I like this guy though.
Yeah, he's all right.
Chance,
I don't know.
Give him a chance.
Put him in the office of an insurance company.
I do want to see them like write an article. That's important to me.
You want to criticize their copy?
No, like if they're going to really be journalists, I want to see them like struggling with the prose.
Miles, so far, do they seem like real journalists? Is it like real life?
No.
Oh, okay.
They keep intervening in the story.
I just feel like journalist is such a trope to put in a thing, you know, like we're chasing the story. And so we're going to see a story.
Insurance agent is a lot funnier.
It's funnier. And it's stupid that that's because they do show the insurance office a few times in the original, but it's like, we don't, they're not, that's not how this would really work, man. There's no way you would chase the exact guy specifically for it. The insurance company would be just telling the town, like, we can't fill this claim because of X, Y, and Z, and that's why we don't cover him. That's what an insurance company would do. It'd be very boring. Anyway, those are our feelings on Trigun Stampede. You can find it on Crunchyroll. You knew that if you cared. You can Google and listen to a podcast at the same time. Next week's show is to be decided. We'll figure it out and tweet about it on our Twitter, which is at JJBpod.
It's not Twitter anymore. It's X now.
Is he confirmed to rename it, or is he just changing the logo?
Yeah, I think it's officially X.
He's so changing.
If you need to look up videos on Twitter, go to xvideos.com.
Very good.
That's stupid.
But he's also like...
I'm so glad I'm off Twitter.
He's also dumb.
You gotta get off that fucking website.
He's walked back so many changes he said he'd made because everyone goes, you're a giant dumbass. And someone he actually halfway respects gets to him and says, you're a dumbass. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll let you know on Twitter, potentially, at JJBpod. You can email us. If you're like, what are you watching next week? And I don't know yet. I don't even know what the name of the platform is. Email jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. There's also a Discord that a listener started, and we're in there too because we ain't got nothing better to do. The link to that Discord is in the description of this episode.
What about we love our community of fans, Mark?
That's too warm and fuzzy. You wouldn't even say that. Would you say that?
I love our community of fans.
You're going to make people parasocial. Don't do that. They're going to start hitting you up for money. Yeah. Sure. So there's a Discord. Link is in the description. Other than that, don't not kill people if they're really evil. Wait, I can't say that, can I?
Pray for me, everyone.
I don't know. Listen, just be safe out there, okay? Be safe.
Feel better, Miles.
If you're in a tightly crowded place, wear a mask.
Literally pray for me, though. Go to church.
All right. Pray for Miles. See you guys. Bye.